Good morning, everyone. Has everyone heard about the excitement that's going on in Tampa Bay area? No? There's some wonderful news out there. Let me give you a clue. Does anybody know what this is? Wait, it's coming up. It's a hockey puck, right? Yes, the Tampa Bay Lightning are hot in contention for the Stanley Cup right now. They won their first bracket. They lost last night to Boston, but they're in their second bracket. So they're well on their way, hopefully, to the Stanley Cup. But whether it's hockey, baseball, football, or any other sport, many like to really get into it, don't they? Cheering on their team, sitting on the edge of their seats through the game. It can be a lot of fun going to a game. We've taken some groups to the Rays game occasionally. We speak freely to other fans out there about the game and what's going on and about the sport. We see others wearing team colors in stores, and most may not be hesitant going up and just talking to somebody about that team. I know I do that a lot when I see a USF college t-shirt or something. I'll go up and say, did you go to USF or whatever? And it breaks open a conversation. And that's the way it should be with our faith. It's exciting to see God work in our midst. It's exciting to see someone make a commitment to Christ. It's exciting to see young people to grow in the Lord and go out there and make a difference in the world. God's whole message is to draw us, the human race, back to Himself. And through the Holy Spirit, God has given each of us the ability to make a difference. Out of our readings today, we see two powerful examples of what I'm talking about. One is related to where our strength comes from, and the other is about putting that strength into action. We need to understand that God, by His Spirit, really is active in the church, that is, the body of Christ. The reason these scriptures show up when they do in the rotation of our lectionary is to show us just that. As we ready ourselves for Pentecost, these scriptures encourage us. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity and the lifeblood of God's connection to us. Jesus gave us a wonderful image to demonstrate that in the analogy of the vine. That is, the truth and importance of being connected to Him. This is another one of the seven I am statements that I talked about last week. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. In other words, there is only one true spiritual vine, one connection to the Father, one source of light and life. And Jesus equates that connection through Him to that of a grapevine. And here's why. Every grapevine that produces fruit needs special care by the vine dresser. Earlier this week, by no mistake, I heard in an analogy by picture what Jesus is saying here. It's really cool when you're working on something like a sermon and then something else just drops into your lap on that same topic and He shows you something out of it. So I want to show you a grapevine. All right. Look at this lush thing, what it looks like. If you had this growing in your backyard, you'd probably be thinking you're the envy of the neighborhood, how luscious it looks and how beautiful it is. It covers the whole trellis. And it's just a full of life. But there's one huge problem with this vine. It has no or very little fruit. Nothing is growing on this vine for the purpose for which it was intended. You see, grapevines need to be pruned back. The only limb that produces fruit on a grapevine is the second year wood. That is a bud of wood that comes forth on the vine branch. And after it comes out during the second year of life, it produces fruit. Before that happens, all the third year branches need to be pruned back, taken away, so that the first year and the second year, which is going to produce fruit, can grow. That's how all the nourishment gets to the second year wood. Here's what a grapevine should look like. And that's what we are as a body of Christ, we as a parish, we as individuals should look like, spiritually speaking. Jesus said it again, the second time. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In this analogy, there are many images that Jesus wants us to be listening to and to understand. The connection that we have to the Father through Jesus and the ability to grow and mature in him. And the fruit that comes from that growth. There are several kinds of fruit mentioned in Scripture that we receive through the Spirit. But the fruit expressed here is experiencing the fullness of Christ in your life, which includes all that other fruit that we hear about, the fruits of the Spirit and also the gifts of the Spirit that we read about in Corinthians. In essence, our whole spiritual growth. It is, in essence, experiencing the all-encompassing presence of God in our lives. Unless we, the human race, by free will, are connected to the vine, we cannot receive what Jesus has to offer. That becomes a dead branch, as Jesus calls it, and is cut off. But we can also become stagnant in our walk with the Lord. We can look at all the luscious and green vines, but we're not growing to produce fruit. In other words, we need to be pruned back so that it will allow God what God wants to do to spring forth in our lives. We can hear him. We can see what he wants to do more clearly. We were created to be connected to God and to produce fruit. And as the vine dresser, that is God, he readies us for service. We were created to be in a relationship with him. Those who choose to be connected to the vine will grow. And out of that growth comes knowing God to the fullest extent that we can. And we see some amazing things happen in our midst. Let's look at just one example of God working in the lives to produce fruit. And we see that in the powerful experience that Philip had in our reading from Acts. When I first started reading the Bible in my 20s as part of my spiritual diet, I was at times just drawn to these verses. They were at that time, and somewhat still is, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I like it because it sums up the magnitude and the majesty of God and he working through us as he did here with Philip. Remember, this is Philip the evangelist, not Philip the apostle. He is one of the seven who, along with Stephen, was chosen to help the apostles. That's where the ministry of the deacons comes out of. Here are a few things that we know about Philip the evangelist. He wants to please God. He wants to be led by God. He loved Jesus Christ with all of his heart, and he was filled with the Spirit of God. In other words, he was connected, pruned, and ready to follow wherever the Lord led him into his ministry. And wherever he went under the authority of Jesus Christ by his Spirit. Life can be an exciting journey when we allow God to really have control of the reins of our life. That's how it was with Philip. Philip is off on a mission wherever he was going, and he had this encounter with an angel. And we read, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Gaza. Philip now has a choice to make. Go where I want to plan to go, or I can stay connected to the vine, listen to God, and go where he says go. So he chooses to listen. He comes up this chariot, and we read, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join the chariot. I love encounters like this when they happen. Encounters can be fun. As I said before, many times I'll just strike a conversation just because of a shirt someone might be wearing. And I understand not everyone is like that. Most of my kids have always been embarrassed when I do it, and they would see it coming. They said, Dad, not here. We don't all have the have to be extroverts to have a wonderful encounter with the Lord. Debbie has had numerous encounters, probably more than I've ever had, and she's much less of an extrovert than I am. However, when God directs you and you know beyond a doubt he is leading you, it's exciting. So Philip has this instruction to go to this direction, and we have the Holy Spirit saying, go to the chariot. And the Ethiopian is reading scripture from Isaiah. It's a prophetic word about the coming of the Messiah. Now, I want you to notice something. Philip didn't just go up and start preaching to the guy. He heard the Ethiopian reading the scripture, and he asked a simple, groundbreaking, ice-breaking question. Do you understand what you're reading? It's a simple, non-threatening question, yes or no. And Philip can sense that this guy is hungry. He wants to know the truth, plus all what's happened in getting there. His heart is already being prepared, and God is working in him as such to such that he is giving he is giving Philip direction to go. He says, "How can I know unless someone tells me?" And here is another amazing part of the reading. Then Philip did what? He opened his mouth. And beginning with the scripture, that is the one that he was reading, he told him the good news about Jesus. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do when we're in a situation like this, and that's opening our mouth. For others, it's not so hard. Remember what Jesus said, by his Spirit, he will always be with us. So Philip opened his mouth, and it flowed. This wasn't a hard scripture. It was just a prophetic word about the Messiah. Philip just filled in the blanks about what it was about. He didn't worry about what he was going to say. He didn't have cliff notes in his pocket and pull them out and start going from the notes. He knew God was with him. And through his witness, the Ethiopian turned his life completely over to Christ. This was no accident. And then there was the powerful follow-up as the Ethiopian was baptized, and Philip was then instantly taken by the Spirit to a place of Azotus. This had to be a powerful witness for the Ethiopian and for Philip as well. What a witness it was to have the leading of God and knowing that he was carrying out the call of God. You see, we have a God who wants to use us. He wants to bless us and bless others as well. But too often our reaction may be, what difference can I make? Philip didn't know what difference he was going to make. He just did it. When you look at this reading, there are several dynamics going on. One is the ability to listen to God's leading. Like I mentioned last week, sometimes what we are asked to do may not always make sense. It might seem strange. Next, we have the follow through, and we can see the walk is certainly that in our walk that we're certainly not alone. Philip went through and did what he was called to do. He followed through with the instructions. The timing was perfect, and God was working things out for the Ethiopian and for Philip. So we have seen some of these two pieces of scripture, some powerful lessons. There's the importance of staying connected to God through Jesus Christ by his Spirit. And through that connectedness, we have the ability to do some amazing things as the Lord leads us. Listen to the promise that Jesus gave. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, now those are key words. Abide means to remain, not to be separated from. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, a lot of people want to just look at the last part of that and say, I'll just ask the Lord for whatever I wish. What Jesus is saying is that whatever task is out there that he has for you, and you are listening to him, abiding in him, he will give you whatever you need to accomplish what it is that he has for you. And here's why. Jesus also said, by this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Again, as I mentioned last week, all that we do is to glorify the Lord. in our ministry. Without him, we can do nothing. He wants to make a difference in us so that we can make a difference in the world around us. But we need to stay nourished. We need to stay connected. We need to allow the love of God to fill us. And that means at times we need to be pruned so that the fruit of the Spirit can flow. Isn't it wonderful that God loves us so much that he wants to remain in us, remain in him, and he in us? In our epistle reading in 1 John, John mentions love 27 times in 14 verses. And the word abide. He said, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. In other words, because of this amazing love that God has for us, because of this connection through the very Spirit of God, you have all of heaven's resources at your disposal by his Spirit. And he uses each and every one of us who calls on him. And he can use you today just as he has used countless Christians around the world. And here's what we ask as exemplified from these readings. Lord, what do you want me to do? Who am I to talk to? Who do I pray for? What direction do you want me to take? And the second question is this: what in my life needs to be pruned so that I can grow? What is hindering my walk with you? What do I know is hindering that walk? When we get honest with God and really open up to him, we can expect him to answer. Who knows what God has in store for you? Or what life you may touch that can change the world? Even Billy Graham had someone tell him about the Lord. And look at the fruit. And here is the possible historical note. We don't know what happened to that Ethiopian official on that road after this encounter. But this we do know. Ethiopia was the first African nation to become Christian. And to this day, it is in a strategic location. Christianity is still the primary faith of that country. God does move and uses us in mighty ways. That should be what we are about, living out what God has called for each and every one of us to do. And by doing that, we can make a difference. So in closing, I want to encourage you. Stay connected. Be nourished. And make a difference in the world around you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving Spirit, that we have this connectedness to you through Jesus Christ, that we can walk and listen to you and hear you and move by your Spirit into places that we may not even think about. And that might be just around the corner. So, Father, we ask that you would move in each person's life here today. Anoint them with your Spirit, Lord God. Help them to be fruitful in their ministry as they walk out of this building. Help us all, Lord God, to seek you better, to prune those things back that need to be pruned back. Allow you, the vine dresser, Father, to prune those areas. Show us areas in our life that we are lacking in, that we're not just some greenery that is out here, but we are made to produce fruit to your glory. So, Father, I ask that you would just use us mightily in the world around us. And we thank you, Father, that we can and you desire to make a difference in people's lives. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.